Amen. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Ann, as always, for just wonderful music that you bring to our worship services every single Sunday, every worship service. We're just so thankful to be able to share this music all together as we worship our Lord this morning. So thank you for that, especially that one just there. That's probably one of my favorites there. Thank you so much. Over the years, prior to going to seminary and even during the years following graduating seminary back in the early 90s, I've had the opportunity to experience quite a variety of vocations in my life. I've done a lot of different things, and my daddy always said that he could do a lot of stuff, but most of them just okay. Well, that's sort of like me. I can do a lot of different things, but I'm not an expert really at anything. I just kind of can do a few things here or there. And it might surprise you, some of the jobs that I've had, some of the vocations that I have chosen for a period of time in my life. And some of them, when you hear about them, you would probably say, well, that figures. That figures he would do something like that. I've worked as everything from a paper boy out running dogs in the neighborhood so I could throw a paper on somebody's porch to working as an insurance man in my dad's insurance agency there in Gastonia. And I really wasn't an agent. All I did was a lot of clerical work for him there. But it may surprise you that back in the early 80s, which was 100 years ago to many of you before you were even born, I worked as a radio disc jockey. Now, those of you who are 30 years old and less probably don't know what that is, a disc jockey, because your music's just on this device, right? A disc jockey was a guy who took these things called LPs, albums, and they were vinyl, and they had grooves in them with a needle that rested on them, and music would come out of them. Well, the radio stations needed someone to pick up one vinyl piece of record and put another vinyl piece of record down and watch it spin and play it, and that's called a disc jockey. So I was a radio disc jockey at a country music station in Cherryville, North Carolina, 1590, WCSL, Cherryville, Carolina's country. That was me. Now, I had to always be careful to say the word Cherryville and not Cherryville, because you didn't want everybody to know you were from Gaston County. So you didn't say Cherryville, you say 1590, WCSL, Cherryville, Carolina's country. And I was a disc jockey there at this country music radio station for a while, and then I moved on from there to WRPL, Charlotte's Best Rock. And I was a radio disc jockey there in Charlotte for a brief period of time. My brief radio career crashed and burned pretty fast, so that was just kind of a blip on the radar in my life. But I've always gone from there. I've always worked at a lot of different places. I made rubber labels for a company in Gastonia, where you smeared this stuff on and dipped it in this stuff, and you came out with these labels that people stamped out. I've worked as a front-end manager at a Harris Teeter grocery store. I've worked as a healthcare technician at Dorothea Dix Hospital over in Raleigh when it was there. I've worked as a hospice chaplain in various different places that I've been. I've worked as a salesman in an electrical wholesale supply business, and of course in my spare time I've worked as a pastor in churches here and there. Now, that's quite an eclectic resume to have to try to explain to someone when you lay it down in front of them. Some may look at all of these vocations and all of these things that I've done, all these jobs, and may view me as a rambler or as someone who just bounces from one thing to another, from place to place. But that's really not true at all. That's really not how it all played out in my life. They're all just experiences in my life that had a purpose. They're experiences in my life that built me, really, into the person that I am today. And I can look back at every one of those experiences and see things that I learned from those experiences, good or bad, that taught me to be who I am today. You know, God's plan, God's path for us isn't always just a straight and smooth and nonstop journey. I think rarely is God's path a straight and smooth and nonstop journey. Most of the time, God's path is filled with a lot of twists and turns, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of hills that we have to climb and valleys we have to go through, and beginnings and endings and starting and stopping. I don't know if you have ever heard the statement, good judgment comes from experience, but experience comes from bad judgment. Doesn't that make sense? Good judgment comes from experience, but experience really comes from some bad judgment. Sometimes the mistakes that we make can really be the best tools for getting us on track. Sometimes the poor decisions and missteps that we make in life, God can take them and use them and really teach us some things that focuses us where we need to be focused in our life. Some of my vocations that I've had, some of them were pretty good and fun. Some of them were not so good, but they all make up the path. They all make up the path that personally I've traveled to get to this place, this amazing place. It's important in life to remember our experiences, to remember those things that we've gone through in our lives throughout the years. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, it's important that we remember those things. As a part of that job that I had for that electrical wholesale business that I worked for, as a part of that job, each year, right after Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we would do something called year-end inventory. Now, year-end inventory is an event that I just dreaded. I just could not stand it. It was painful, it was tiring, it was long, it was hard. But inventory is when we would go in there and we would count every single thing that was there in the building that we were to sell. Every single thing that was there had to be counted. And it was painful. It was hard work. It was tiring, but it was necessary, because the only way you can know if the past year has been profitable or not is to do an inventory. That's the only way you can possibly tell. Companies take that information from a year-end inventory and they learn. They learn what they did wrong that year. They learn what they did right that year. They learn what was good about it. They learn what was bad about it. And based on that information, they make adjustments to their companies to make improvements, sort of like we can do with our lives. If we take those kind of inventories in our own lives. On this first Sunday in 2021, I think it's a good time to take some inventories. I think this first Sunday would be a good time to stop and do a little inventory of last year and measure how we did. How do we fare through all of this? Measure what we learned, especially considering last year was 2020. And I got a feeling 20 years from now, we'll be talking about 2020. Maybe it's a good time for us to measure what happened in that challenging year. Understanding that it's not going to always be fun to look back and remember those things. It's tiring and it's hard, and it's hard to look back. I mean, it's hard to have to relive mistakes and failures and sorrow, maybe, loss, maybe, that some of you have had to deal with. But it's necessary. If we're going to make 2021 better, if we're going to learn and going to grow, then we have to take an inventory to see what has been profited from all of those things that occurred in that previous year. I really think that's what Paul's doing when we look at this scripture this morning in Philippians chapter 3. Paul's taking an inventory of his own life. He's taking an inventory of not just the past year, but an inventory of all his life experiences, all his vocations, all the good things, all the bad things, everything he's gone through. He's taking an inventory of all that stuff that he's been through in his life. Now, let's think about Paul's situation for just a minute, because this is very interesting how it applies to our lives. In the beginning of Paul's life, you know as well as I do, if you've read the scriptures at all, in the beginning of his life, Paul was a terrible persecutor of Christians. Then, on the way to Damascus, on that road that he was on, Jesus came to him and just, for lack of a better word, took hold of him, grabbed him, took hold of him, saved him, and sent him on a mission, gave him a purpose, took hold of him for a very specific reason and sent him on that mission for that purpose. And several years later, after going through that and after dealing with all that Jesus had taken him to do, Paul sits down and Paul writes this text that we're reading this morning. Paul's taking inventory. He's taking inventory and putting kind of everything in his past in perspective and inventorying all the many events and vocations and things that have gone on in his life that apply today to his life. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with the 12th verse. Listen to what Paul says. It's very interesting. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Wow. Paul is saying, Jesus took hold of me for a reason. Jesus, of all people, me, Jesus saved me for a reason. There's a reason why he took hold of me. There's a reason why he saved me. There's a reason why he stopped me on that road and blinded me and did all the things that he did to me on the road to Damascus. And it's not just to keep me from persecuting Christians anymore. It's not just to stop me from doing that. If Jesus wanted to stop me from doing that, he could have just had me annihilated and that would have been it. That's not what Jesus wanted. He didn't just stop me on that road just to keep me from persecuting people. He stopped me because he had a plan for me. He stopped me because he had a purpose, Paul said, in his life. A purpose, a mission for what God wanted Paul to do with his life. And you know, the same thing's true for you. The same thing's true for every one of us. You've been saved for a reason. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ and surrendered your heart to him, he chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you, and he took a hold of you from whatever you were in your life and brought you out of that and saved you for a very specific purpose and a very specific reason. The word that comes to mind is the word sanctification. You've been sanctified. You've been set aside for God's use and for God's purposes. Regardless of who you are, regardless of where you were born, regardless of what you've done, regardless of the good or bad vocations you've had, regardless of the poor decisions you might have made in your life, regardless of anything that's gone on in your past. Look at Paul. He killed people just because of their beliefs. He takes hold of us and he pulls us out of all of that, out of our addictions, out of our problems, out of our fears, out of our mistakes, out of our guilt, out of all of that. He takes hold of us and he pulls us out of all that stuff and he says, "Look, I could have just gotten rid of you if I wanted to, but I have a purpose for you. I got a job for you. I got something that I need you to do." So Paul is saying, "I know I have a purpose. I'm not there yet," he's saying. Paul's saying, "I'm not there yet. I haven't quite figured it all out yet, but Jesus took hold of me for a reason, so I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on so I can find out what that purpose really is that Jesus has for me." Verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press onward the gold to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul admits, I'm not sure I get it yet. I'm not sure I figured it out yet. I'm still trying to figure out what God's doing with me, but I'm not going to let my past hold me back. I'm not going to let my guilt for all the bad things I did in my life in the past hold me back. I'm not going to let any of that stuff get in the way. There is a purpose that God has for me to be accomplished. There's a purpose that God has in mind for me in my life, and I'm pressing onward to that goal. I think it's just so amazing to recognize and to realize this Apostle Paul that we put on such a high pedestal and that we say is just so, so amazing that the New Testament probably would not have been written had it not been for Paul writing. This one, the Apostle Paul, even he struggled to find his place. Even he struggled to find God's plan for his life. You ever feel that way? You ever have those kind of feelings in your heart about what you're doing? You ever wondered if what you're doing is the right thing? If the things that God wants you to do are the things that you're really doing with your life? You ever felt like you've not figured out your purpose yet? You're not quite figured out exactly what God wants you to do. Paul felt that way. Even Paul dealt with that and was constantly striving, pressing on to figure out what it is I'm supposed to do, what it is you want me to do, God. Why is it that you took me and saved me there on the Damascus Road, God? Why is it that you reached down and grabbed me out of my addictions or grabbed me out of my sin or grabbed me out of my shame or grabbed me out of all the stuff that I've been in my life? Why is it, God, that you did that? There's a purpose. And if you've accepted Christ this morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life has a meaning and a purpose that is unbelievable. And if you're listening to me or watching me and you have never done that, and God has brought you our way today, well, let me tell you, you want a meaning and a purpose to your life? You want your life to really matter? You know, Christians haven't figured it all out. Christians don't exactly understand it all either. It's okay. He has a purpose, and he's wanting to reach down and get you and bring you into that plan and bring you into that purpose. If nothing else, the Apostle Paul teaches us that you're not going to find that purpose living tangled up in your mistakes or tangled up in your past and in your poor choices. You're not going to accidentally just stumble upon God's plan for your life. It's just really not going to work that way. It requires intentional living, as Paul's talking about, pressing toward that goal. Intentional living every day in your life, deciding every morning when you get up in the morning who you are going to be in Christ Jesus. And we all have to come to those terms every morning. Who am I going to be this morning, today? How am I going to live my life today? What are the things that I'm going to do for God today, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of my bad decisions and vocations? Every day we have to make those choices of who we are in Christ, how we're going to use our time, how we're going to use our resources, and how are we going to represent Jesus Christ in this world today. We all have to make those choices every single day. Paul says in verse 15, all of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's do a year-end inventory. Let's take just a minute and look at what we've learned, what we've attained, what we've profited from this past year, so that we can so we can build something special in 2021. So that we can understand our purpose and the path that God wants us to be on in 2021. I mean, an inventory of 2020, let's face it, can look pretty ugly. An inventory of 2020 can really look pretty bad. I mean, I don't know about you, but this was my first global pandemic. I mean, an inventory of 2020 had this global pandemic and social problems and race relation problems and unemployment problems and people isolated and people going through depression. And if we want to focus on all that stuff, if we want to focus on all the bad stuff that has occurred, it's going to look like a pretty ugly inventory that we're going to be taking. And we might just count it as a loss. But you know, if you really look, and if you really think about it, there's a lot of good lessons from 2020. There's a lot of good lessons that we can actually take from there that we learned in 2020 and include in our inventory that'll make it look more correct. I mean, 2020 was the year that we learned, at least I believe this, it's the year that we learned really just how small the world is. Just how small this world really is. And we really all face the same stuff. We all go through the same trials. We all go through the same struggles. Viruses don't care how much money that you have or what the color of your skin is or what country you live in. Viruses just don't care about that. 2020 is the year that we learned how much we all need each other, I believe. And what a difference a little bit of kindness can really make. The power and the inspiration that can come just from simple acts that we do for one another. It's the year that we learned that wealthy basketball and professional football players are really not the heroes in this world. They're not. The heroes are doctors and nurses and teachers and people who are doing all they can just to take care of each other, just to take care of someone else, and people who are doing things that nobody notices, things that nobody is paying attention to. Those are the heroes. Those are the people that we should be putting up on the pedestals. It's a year that we learned that isolation can be dangerous. Sometimes you just need to call somebody. Sometimes you just need to take the time and pick up the phone and give someone a call. It's a year that we learned that time with family is time that really matters. We've got a little plaque at our house that says, family is the most important thing, or family is everything, and everything else is just everything else. And that's true. 2020 is the year that we learned how to live simply and be at peace just with what we have and find the greatest blessings in just the little things. That we don't need the big stuff to be happy. We don't need the big stuff to feel blessed. We can find blessings in those smallest of things. It's a year that we learned that it's okay to slow down. It's okay to ask for help when you didn't need help. It's okay to reveal your heart to another person and let them see who you really are. It's the year that we learned, I think, what a privilege and what a blessing that it is to be able to come into a church and sit down in a pew and worship with other believers. I don't think we'll ever take that for granted again after 2020. So if you think about it, we've got quite a nice inventory here. Quite a nice year-end inventory. The question is, well, how did you do? What does your inventory look like? What did you profit from last year? Did God use that time to bring you closer to His purposes for your life? Or have you just focused on all the bad stuff and you're counting it as a loss? Take time over the next few days. Do a year-end inventory. take time to inventory both the good and the bad, and let's see what you've profited. Take time to learn from your past and from this year 2020, and God will take that inventory, and God will use that to take you closer to Him, to take you closer to His purpose, to take you a closer understanding of what you're supposed to do now. What's your next step in this new year, 2021? How did you do? Take time to do that inventory. Let's have us a prayer together. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for all our experiences. Though, God, we do carry guilt and shame and worry for some of the things, some of the decisions we've made in our past. But God, we have to count them all as good because that's how you use them. Even those worst of times that we have to go through in life, you take and you strengthen us. You strengthen our faith. You strengthen our resolve. You strengthen us and help us to understand who you are in our lives because of that situation. And God, you have shown us, you have revealed to us in a mighty way that even in the worst of times, you're there. You never moved. You never changed. You are always with us. Father, help us as we come together during this hymn of commitment to begin our time of inventory of our own personal lives, to look back at the effects of this past year and years in the past, and to consider how that can all be put together and used for good, that 2021 will be a year that we'll never forget, not for the same reasons as 2020, but the year that we will never forget because we grew closer to you. We found you in a more real and personal way. We gave our lives to you. We surrendered ourselves fully to you. And you revealed to us our purpose and our path. Thank you, Father, so much for always teaching us and being with us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.